We won't, nobody is going to bite you. At least you better not. Okay. Or if you want to bite someone, wait till after the service. Okay, all right. So I'd like to thank you all for coming, and this morning as we take some time to honor our mothers, I would... Yes, it should be a special day, and that song was specifically chosen for today. As we think of a few announcements that we have, don't forget on 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, we have a Bible study here at the church. Everyone is welcome to come. And then on the left side of your bulletin, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, we have a Bible school, and it should be a good time. It's just 3 days. It's not too long. What is the day? 4-hour day, something like that. And so if you can help, that would be good as well. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. And then next Sunday is also a special day for our graduates. So if you're graduating, congratulations, you made it. All right, and we are going to have a potluck dinner in your honor. Now, that's almost does not promote the Bible and biblical principles. And so we need to pray for our young people and our children, and including those that are graduating. There is a special prayer request for Mike and Reese, who are going on a missionary journey. I hope that's profitable for you, at least, huh? Okay, very good. Well, we'll pray for you, and I hope the plane doesn't disappear in the Bermuda Triangle. Is that where you're going? Kind of close to there, isn't it? Okay. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? Okay. All right. Very good. Let's open our Bibles, if we would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the scripture does two things. It mentions or makes reference to the results of a mother and a grandmother who were very faithful in Timothy's life. And it also... is a good complement to Colossians chapter 1, the text that we're in this morning. So let's pick it up and we'll read verse 10 through the end of the chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. And if we remember, Timothy was accompanying the Apostle Paul. So he had firsthand knowledge of all of this. And so Paul is reminding Timothy of that. Middle of verse 11, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Folks, our country, our environment around us is not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And there's the verse we just read. But if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. That is something we can count on. But continue, verse 14, thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pause for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for your love towards us. We thank you that while we were not only sinners, but we were helpless, we were enemies, you loved us and died for us and paid the penalty for our sin. We thank you that you have indeed taken hopeless people and given us hope. We just pray that if there's anyone here this morning who isn't sure of their eternal destiny, has any doubts, that they would realize that because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross in paying for their sin, that they can be saved eternally and escape the wrath which is to come. And so we thank you for this good news. We just want to remember those, and we hear more and more in the news where Christians around the world, and particularly in Africa and in nations where Islam is the majority, that Christians are being persecuted like never before. We just pray that we could remember our brothers and sisters in prayer. Even though we don't know them, we just pray that the grace of God could uphold them, and that through all this, that there could be even those among the captors, the persecutors, that could be touched by the Holy Spirit and understand that Jesus Christ is their only hope. And so we just pray that your word would not return void. We want to think of this country and the leaders and the decisions that they make. We at times can be very discouraged, but we just pray that we would never forget that our hope has never been in politicians. The Christian's hope is always in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we would hold the Word of God as being an absolute authority, an absolute work of truth, and that not to be taken lightly or dismissed, but to take in and to believe. And so we just pray that as your children, those who have trusted Jesus Christ, that the Word of God could indeed become a lamp unto our feet. And so we pray to that end. We thank you for Timothy and the words that Paul gave him, the encouragement to continue in the things that he had learned. And so we just pray that the same would be true of us. So we want to commit this morning to you. We think of those who are suffering from physical or aren't here this morning for whatever reason. We just pray that your grace could encourage them, and that your will could be worked out in each life. And so we just thank you for this morning. We just pray that because of the time spent here this morning, we would be encouraged and would be the better for it. And so we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, at this point, let's stand and we'll greet one another, and then we'll continue with our service in just a moment. Talking to people who have seen the truth of the gospel and have trusted the finished work of Jesus Christ for them. And as we stop and we consider the heart of the gospel in a nutshell is laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And the text actually in the grammar goes on to say, and was seen. And as we stop and think of why did Christ die, the reason Christ died was because of me. The reason he died was because of you. It was because of sinners that Christ died. And he died for the sins of the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so we have something that happens to us. And down here, I've got a religious person, a moral person, and an immoral person. And probably all of us in our lives have met very religious people. And Paul here is making reference to the Orthodox Jew when he talks about the religious people. Here he's talking about Gentiles, moral and immoral, and some Gentiles are very nice people. Not every Gentile you meet is a murderer, is a thief. And Paul says in the first chapters of Romans that they actually do things that are found in the law. And then he says, there are the bums right here. But he concludes this, we are all under sin. We've all gone astray. There is none that seeketh after God. And while the world is full of seekers, don't forget Paul's words. There is none that seeketh after God. And so when people get discouraged, what's the tendency? Oh, seek for a new politician. Seek for a new promise. Seek for a new religion. And but where is the finished work of Jesus Christ? Well, when a person places their faith in Jesus Christ, they are placed into the family of God. They can call God their Father. In fact, in Hebrews, it's very interesting that Jesus Christ is called God's Son, and we are called God's sons, and it says that makes us brothers. And then it says this, that He is not ashamed to call us His brothers. Wow. And when I first saw that verse and it just really hit me, I was thinking of myself, boy, how many times have I been ashamed of Jesus Christ? And if anyone has a reason to be ashamed, it's not me, it's Him. He should be ashamed of me. Especially given Satan, who the Scripture tells us, accuses the brethren night and day. So can you imagine? Can you imagine anybody coming up to you and saying, do you know what your kid did now? Do you know what your kid's up to? Some of you, that's all you hear. Shame on you, kids. No, I'm just kidding. But we hear that. And what's it do to you as a parent? It gets old fast, doesn't it? We just don't like the neighbors pointing out the obvious to us. Just keep it under your hat. So just a little tip here. I know it's Mother's Day, but if you want to stay on the good side of mothers, don't criticize their kids to their mothers, no matter how bad they are. No matter what they say about their kids, just be quiet. That's just a tip. That was free. But imagine Satan in heaven accusing us before Jesus Christ and pointing out all the things we do. And you would think that Jesus Christ would just blush. Instead, we're blushing, and He's happy that we're in His family. And His answer is, listen, I paid for that. I paid for all their goofs on the cross. It's paid for, it's paid for, it's paid for. And folks, one of the reasons we're here is to be reminded that Jesus Christ paid it all. I kind of had to smile. I was putting the songs on, Power in the Blood, and Brenda's mom from West Virginia calls and said, you got to sing a song about the blood. And she's real kind of gruff about it, and I said, now what? And they're taking the blood out of songs all over the country, and it's just awful. So you sing about the blood. And so what songs are you singing tomorrow? And I could tell her, hey, we're singing, There Is Power in the Blood. And she pauses and says, good. there, we made one person happy anyway. To tell you the truth, she does have a point. She does have a point. The blood of Christ is just being ignored everywhere. And yet it's through the blood of Christ, His death on the cross for us, that makes it possible to have a hope in heaven forever. And that is something we should never forget. It is something we should forever be thankful for. So in this standing, we need to grow. And last week I put this little picture right here. And when a person does place their faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, the Bible says they start off as babes in Christ. And I know for all your babies, none of mine are obnoxious, but not mine, of course. But, you know, part of growing up is being obnoxious, isn't it? And it's kind of comical. The legislature is now going to outlaw bullying. Haven't these people ever been in junior high? Junior high, they're obnoxious. And I speak from experience, not just because I had a lot of kids, but I drove a school bus when I went through college. And I'll tell you this. This is my personal experience, anecdotal evidence only. All right, the little kids, noisy, fun, great. Junior high kids, the boys and the girls are just starting to notice each other. They're going through puberty, and they are obnoxious as can be. The only solution is drive faster. And by the time they're seniors in high school, they actually are starting to mellow out a little bit. Not all, but they're mellowing out. But that junior high group, they are awful. And it just amazes me that we can sit in St. Paul and pass a bill that says, no more bullying allowed. And what is bullying? Name calling. You gotta be kidding. I'll bet none of you ever called anyone a name, did you? Oh, come on. I know you did. I know you called somebody chunky cheese, didn't you? Well, stop it. It's illegal now. I was thinking about that, and I can remember as a child, and I'm just on the side right here, I heard some people talk about other races in derogatory terms. And you know, it dawned on me, not at the time, but at the time I remember thinking, you know, that isn't right. And I thought, why did I think that? And it's because of the gospel. Did you know that? For God so loved the world. And there is something about the gospel. There is something about being made one in Christ that the Apostle Paul is going to talk about in this particular passage. Christ died for everyone. And he is no respecter of persons. And when we realize that we are empty-handed, we have nothing to bring to the table, that Jesus Christ and God through his Son Christ brought everything. He finished the work and left nothing for us to do. When we realize that, it's humbling, isn't it? It's humbling. And what it does is it builds in us a realization, and as we grow in grace, it should become stronger and stronger. The gospel is the answer to discrimination. Not laws in St. Paul or Washington. It's the gospel. And if we want people, and I was going to say, if we want people to get along together, they should just get saved. But we also need to grow in grace. And most churches are testimonies of that, aren't they? So grow in grace. We need to understand God's grace and understand how much He put up with us. So the question here is, am I going to grow in grace or am I going to get sidetracked? And as we look at this particular passage right here, let's look at, and here was a picture. I went to the end right here of two Christians, mature Christian and the same Christian who has forgotten. And what did they forget? He forgot about the hope that he had in Jesus Christ. And you know, we can easily get sidetracked, can't we? We can easily not continue in what we know is the hope of the gospel. So look at verse 23 again. And here is what Paul says. If ye continue in the faith, and we looked at the fact that when the little article, the, is in front of faith, it's not talking about our personal faith. It's talking about the body of truth that we believe. And as we stop and think of that, I just want to remind you of our scripture reading this morning. If you're fast, you can turn there, but I'll just read it for you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says this to Timothy. And Timothy was a believer, folks. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You mean, Paul, there's a chance that Timothy might not continue? That's exactly what he said. And listen, there are times when all of us know better and we don't continue in the things which we have learned. And we forget the hope and we panic. And are we still in God's family? Yes. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy, if you continue, he said, he didn't say if, he says, but continue. Don't get discouraged. And he says, you've seen all of the persecutions and afflictions that I went through. But he says, and it's a fact that all that live godly will suffer persecution. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And that is a picture of His grace. And the Paul elsewhere says this, I'll never test you or try you or put you in a place where you cannot handle it. I'll be with you. And there's a purpose for everything that we go through. But he says, continue. Continue in the things that you have learned, Timothy. And here he says to the Colossians in verse 23, continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And that's what we need. Babes in Christ are not grounded and settled. Oh, they're saved, they're in the family, but they know nothing about what they have in Christ. They need to be taught that. They need to be grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And as we stop and we think, I'm going to just stop right there. And if you would look with me quickly at a couple of verses, and let's just look at this mystery and this dispensation that the Apostle Paul has. And I just want to point something out, and I think this will jump off the page at you. If we look at Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9 is a Christmas verse. And here is what we read in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, most of your translations probably have a colon there. Do you have a comma after born? Then you have a colon or something like that, or a semicolon in your text? Yes? No? Amen? Or maybe so? All right. And then after that, it says this, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, let me ask you a question. Between a child is born and a son is given, okay, has that happened? Yeah, that's what we talk about at Christmas time, isn't it? Well, it is, folks. That's what we remember at Christmas. But when has the government ever been on Christ's shoulders? So look at this. Woo. That means, in the middle of that verse, there is a gap of time. Does that make sense? Thank you. All right. Let's look at another one. That's the wrong verse here. That should be Zechariah 9, not Isaiah 9. Let's look at Zechariah 9. Now, Zechariah is at the end of the Old Testament. It's not the last book, but it's close to it. I'm still thumbing back. All right? Second to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, and that should be 9 and 10. That's my mistake, but you can get over it. Here's what it says in verse 9, Zechariah 9, 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just in having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, did that happen? Absolutely. This is when the kids sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, when do they sing that? Palm Sunday, we call it. Historically, this happened. Jesus Christ presented himself as a king. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bowl shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Has that happened? Is Christ's dominion from sea to sea and from the rivers to the end of the earth? Has that happened? No, that hasn't happened. So what we have is in the middle of, and that should be 9 and 10, we have a gap of time. Now I got Luke there. Now I'm all goofed up there. Okay, look at Luke. Luke you should be able to find. That's the third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And here's another Christmas story. And I'm just using these passages because they're familiar, but we should be able to put the time spans in the middle of the verses. And so here is what we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Now let me ask you, did that happen? Absolutely it happened. This is what the Christmas story is all about, isn't it? In fact, some of you read this passage every Christmas. And good, it's a good passage to read. But let's look at verse 32. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Is Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of his father David? Has Jesus Christ ever sat on that throne to date? The answer is no. Which means that between Luke 1:31 and Luke 1:32, there is, and by the way, we are sitting today roughly 2,000 years after verse 31. Did you know that? And I don't know when Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne, but I can tell you this, it's going to be at least about 2,000 years. Agreed? Which means that there is a gap of time between verse 31 and verse 32. Oh, I thought this dispensation stuff was hard and really mysterious and mystical. It's not, folks. It's common sense. Look at the verses. Is everybody with me on this? So here we have this gap of time. And as we stop and we think of the Old Testament, and we think of Jesus Christ setting up his kingdom, guess what? There's a gap of time, isn't there? And here's the question.
Well, what's going on in the gap? And here's what Paul says. Back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Paul says this right here. I got to find this. I lost my place. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I'm talking to myself. Colossians chapter 1. And here's what he says. He says, verse 25 again, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints." Right here, folks, is the mystery. It's right in between on those commas and those semicolons and colons that we see in those verses in Zechariah and in Isaiah and in Luke. And there's others. I just used three here for sake of brevity. But you get the point. And Paul says, listen, this is my responsibility is to tell you about this gap. And he said, I'm going to do it. And as we stop and we think of what that gap's all about, well, let's take a look. Look back at verse 24. "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Now, let me just clarify one thing about verse 24. When the Apostle Paul says he's going to fill up his afflictions of Christ, he is not saying that what Christ suffered on the cross was not adequate and he's got to finish the job. That is not what he's saying. What he is saying is this, is that, listen, if you stand up for Christ, you're going to suffer for his sake. We just read that in 1 Timothy. In fact, we could look at passages in John where Jesus said this, "Don't think it's strange if people hate you. They hated me before they hated you. Who do you think you are?" If the leader, your leader, Jesus Christ, is going to suffer, don't you think his servants, you, are going to suffer if you follow him? And Paul says the same thing. And what he's saying is this, listen, there is a hope. I want you to continue in the hope of the gospel. That's what we just read in verse 23. Now, let me ask you this. Is it possible for Christians to get discouraged along the way? Oh, do I even need to ask? How many of us have been discouraged from time to time? How many of us have just said, you know something? I'm just going to throw in the sponge. That's an old boxing term, isn't it? I'm going to throw in the towel. I quit. I give up. And here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said this, listen, I'm willing to suffer for your sake, whatever it takes. And I don't care what the world does to me because it's more important that you understand, and this is what God has given me to do. This is my responsibility. Now, that doesn't mean that the rest of the Bible isn't important. I know there's those that say, it's only the Apostle Paul and Peter, anybody else that writes anything, it doesn't count. Not true, folks. Not true at all. But what Paul is saying is this, is that if you go to the Old Testament, and by the way, in the Old Testament, it predicts that those who are far off, Gentiles, will come to Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it predicts that the sins of the whole world is going to be laid on him. In fact, Paul quotes the Old Testament when he proves that Jesus Christ was going to suffer and be broken. You can read it in Isaiah. But what the Old Testament doesn't tell us is this. And here it is in verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." Now, he's not saying the Gentiles wouldn't get saved. That's Old Testament. You can find that in the Old Testament. But the next phrase is the critical phrase, "which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in us, the hope of glory, is something that the Old Testament saints didn't know anything about. They didn't know about that. Yet today we know about it. And as we stop and we think of this body of Christ, that Jews and Gentiles are all one in Christ in Ephesians, Paul says this, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. We are one in Christ. Wow. And he says, I want you to know. And through this gospel, not only are you one in Christ, but you have a hope, a future hope. And I don't want you to get moved away from that. And I was thinking of all the ways that people get moved away from that. And one way is just through discouragement. The pressures of this earth, world that go on around us can cause us to be distracted. Continue in the faith. Don't be distracted. Recognize that things are going to get worse. There's other things that can distract us. It's not necessarily just physical suffering. It's not necessarily just persecution that goes on around us. And by the way, us in the United States, we know little of persecution. That may change. That may change. So here's the message. Continue in the faith. Continue in the hope of the gospel. That's the only hope we have. And as we stop and we consider this, you know, there's other things that can cause us to lose sight. And that's this. You see this body right here? Paul says this, when one member of the body suffers, Jesus Christ suffers because he's the head. And I mentioned this the other week and just in passing, but I want to mention this right now. When we hurt each other, our head feels the pain. And who's our head? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And one of the things that happens to us as Christians is that we can get kind of cliquish. Did you know that? Ooh, you didn't know that? Did you go to school? Cliques are all over the place, aren't they? They're all over the place. When I went to school, we had the jocks. They had their own clique. And they had their own pecking order within that clique. Then you had the grease monkeys. They worked on hot rods and cars and skipped classes. And some of them also smoked. So we had those that hung around behind the school and smoked. They can't do that anymore because of law, right? We got, okay. And they had their own pecking order within their own clique. Then among the girls, now in my day, the girls were the cheerleaders. They didn't play, you know, so they had their own clique. So they had, and then they had the glee club and they had the theater group, and they had the A students and the athletes, and you know what I'm talking about, don't you? We had all these little cliques, and in the teacher's lounge they had their cliques. Hard to believe, isn't it? So you come to church and we have our cliques. Shame on us. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ doesn't have a clique? He is calling all into his family. And he loves each of us equally. But you know what these cliques can do? They can cause us to not see the body of Christ properly. And when we don't see this, guess what's affected? Other doctrines are affected. And guess what? If I'm the head of a clique, you know what? My hope, oh, I know about this hope. But I'll tell you, if you really want it, you got to follow me because I'm the real hope. Does that make sense? Everybody follow me? And we get distorted. I want you to know, people tried to follow the Apostle Paul. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, he said, some of you say I'm of Peter and I'm of Paul, and some say I'm of Jesus. And then he says, now listen, you follow me only as I follow Christ. Does that make sense? our hope is never centered in a human being here on earth. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be thankful for other people. It doesn't mean we can't be thankful for the Apostle Paul and his willingness to suffer. And by the way, why would Paul be willing to suffer to carry this out? Because he understood this, and he understood the hope of the gospel. And he was going to continue in it. And if it meant a little pain here on earth in the short run, guess what? That's nothing compared to eternity. He had his hope correct. He had the right priority. And I'll tell you what, it's so easy for the world, because they have hopes all over the place. If I could just get a different politician. If people could cheer for my bill, then it would be successful. You know, that's like standing around a car that doesn't run, and if we give a cheer, the car will run. Come on. If it's broke, it's broke. It needs fixing. All right. It doesn't need a cheerleader. It needs a mechanic. But that's the way politicians are. Where is the hope? Oh, a new politician. If I could just get a raise, if I could have a new boss at work, if I could have a new spouse or something like that, then things would be great. And there's people just flip-flopping all over the place. And listen, when we have this hope in us, it gives us stability in life, and we can focus in life, and we can take the ups and downs in life just like Paul did because of the hope. And that's why he's saying, continue in the faith, the hope of the gospel. And he's talking to believers here, and we need that. And in closing, I'd just like to take a look and turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. To our scripture reading this morning. And as we think of that, I'm going to just detour to 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 5 and say this. I didn't make another mistake, did I? It's 2 Timothy 1, 5, just a couple pages away. I got 1 Timothy right here. This is wrong. This should be 2 Timothy right there. So you're in the same book. And here's what it says. It says this in verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. You mean Paul prayed for Timothy often? That's what it says. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, and unfeigned means sincere. It's not a fake faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. You mean you had a mother and a grandmother who was sincere and had their priorities straight? The answer is yes. And Paul was thankful for that. And the influence that these two godly women had on Timothy is amazing. Turn over to chapter 3, verse 14 again, and look at what Paul says to Timothy. But continue. Ooh, that sounds like the same word back in Colossians 1:23. It is. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who'd you learn them from? Not just me. Not just Paul. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And as we stop and we think of this, parents, and it's not just mothers, but fathers as well. What a responsibility that God has given us. Wouldn't you agree? Paul says, listen, God has given me a responsibility to the church, and that is to explain the mystery. So he's going to do it, and he's going to be willing to suffer for it. But I know this, parents, God has given us as parents a responsibility to teach our children the Word of God. And when they know the Word of God, this is kind of interesting. In Romans, we won't turn there, but in Romans chapter 3, after Paul blasts Jews, Gentiles, and immoral Gentiles, he then says, well, what advantage is there of being a Jew? He asks that question. And he says, much. Really? I thought we were all sinners. I thought we all get saved the same way. I thought God is not partial to people. What is the advantage? And he says, here's the advantage. The oracles of God were given to you. The Word of God is where we learn about salvation. Does that make sense? Now listen. Listen up. Your children being born in your family doesn't make them a Christian. But your children being born in your family should give them an advantage. And here's the advantage. They can learn the Scriptures that make them wise, that teach them the way of salvation. Now, it's going to be their choice. You can't save anyone. That's God's business working in the heart of each individual. But guess what? Faith cometh by what? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul understood that principle. And he reminded Timothy. And then he says this about Scripture. All Scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God. And he's talking to Timothy now as a believer. And he says, it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is just a fancy word for teaching. Biblical teachings. For reproof. And do we need to be told we're wrong? Yes, we do. For correction. Do we need correcting? Yes, we do. For instruction in righteousness. You bet we need instruction. And if you are here and you think you don't need these things, you're deluded. We need to grow in grace. That's what the Scripture says. We can't afford not to pay attention to the Scripture. And here's the result. That the man of God may be perfect. And the word perfect right there is not perfect in the sense that we think is perfect, like God is perfect. It means complete or mature. You've grown up. And you are serving the purpose that God has for you. Thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. And as we stop and we think of growing up, and mothers in particular, what an opportunity. And grandmothers, and it's kind of interesting that in our culture, it kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it, about Timothy's mother. We don't know if he was saved or not, Timothy's dad, but he was a Gentile. She was a Jew. She married this Gentile guy that apparently was not very interested in the Word of God. We don't know much about him. But he had a grandmother that helped her daughter raise their kids. And guess what they did? They didn't just teach him recipes. They taught him the Scripture. And we're coming to a place in this country where there's an awful lot of mothers in this country that don't have husbands, that don't have dads. All they have is a mother. And guess what? They also have a grandmother. Maybe you. I know myself, I'm not a grandmother, but I am a grandfather. And I've often said this, man, when the grandkids are around, boy, I know why God wants us to have kids when we're young. It just Boy, they take a lot of energy, don't they? They can wear you out. But you know what? Don't ever forget Timothy's grandmother, who helped teach the Word of God to Timothy, that made him wise, that taught him the way of salvation. The way of salvation can only be found in the Bible. God's wisdom can't be found anywhere else. I don't care who you're hanging around with and how smart they think they are. God's plans can only be found in the Scripture. Teach your children the Scripture. And don't get turned aside. Don't get discouraged. Continue in the faith, which is the hope of the gospel. Let's pause for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have provided for our every need. That not only have you provided the way of salvation for every member of the human race, but for those who are in your family, that you've provided truth, doctrine, teaching that will make us steadfast and grounded, that will keep us from getting discouraged. And so we pray that we could just be grounded in your word. And we thank you for every opportunity that we have to teach your word. And we especially want to remember that it's in the home that the greatest impact is made for Jesus Christ, and that the greatest influence on the hearts of children are when they're young and they're in the home. And we know how easy it is to get caught up with work, to get caught up with our professions or whatever it is that we're doing. We just pray that we would never forget that each of our children is a gift from God, that is a heart that God loves and wants to hear and have heard the message, the hope of the gospel. So we pray that we would be true to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now before we close, I'm going to ask Brenda, do you have any extra help? No? Okay. Come on up. And we have a little gift for our mothers. It'll just take a minute right here. And what's the... Okay. We have a gift for the oldest mother here. Now, there might be a tie, and Brenda was worried about what to do for the tie. And here's what we're going to do. You weren't born on the same day. Even Chuck and Nellie, who is, their birthdays are the same day, but different years. So who is the oldest mother here? Does anybody want to own up to that? I know women aren't supposed to talk about age, but... Is anybody here over 85 and a mother? Anybody else? Then you are the winner. You don't even have to tell us how old you are, unless you'd like to. How old are you? You'll be 90 in August. That's very good. Okay. All right. Okay, now the next plant goes to the person who has the most kids. So I don't know where to start with that, but does anybody have more than 8 children? That's how many I had. So I... No? 8? 11 children. That is amazing. All right, okay. Okay. And I know what the rest of you are thinking. She can have the prize. Okay. And then the last prize is who is the youngest mother here? Is that right? Yeah. You don't know. You have to look around, don't you? Under 25. Is anybody here 25 who has a child? Heather? Anybody under 24? 23? Going 22? Going one? Heather's it? All right, Heather. Okay. And then then we have, and if I could just maybe ask for some help on this right here. Does children, come on, children. We have all the mothers stand up, and children, can you go give your mom and grandmas and everybody a flower? Could you do that? Just take one out. And